Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. It's an infusion of grant money to help reduce the impact of the crisis of poverty. We're joined now by Anna Quinn. She's executive director of the Hope Center in Rapid City, and she's joining us from SDPB's Black Hills studio. Anna Quinn, welcome to In the Moment.
Thank you. Good morning.
Tell me about this grant, $72,000.
Yes. So we have actually, since the start of the Hope Center, received support from the John T. Vakurovich Foundation here in town. And thankfully this year they decided to do it again. And so they provided us with a grant for $72,000, basically for operational costs to help us do what we do every day. So we're pretty thankful about that.
And they must believe in that mission year after year. So let's talk a little bit about the Hope Center. Give me an overview.
So the Hope Center is a day center for individuals living in poverty and without homes. So we initially started as a place for primarily the homeless to come during the day and receive services. And we've kind of expanded, realizing that a lot of individuals who are living in poverty are really just one minor thing away from being homeless. And so we've expanded to really try to kind of fill in some of the gaps in the community and provide stepping stones to individuals in poverty to help them ultimately get out. So we provide permanent mailing address, permanent phone number, lots of different classes, groups, connection to resources, advocacy, things of that nature, really trying to help them get into a better position and get out of poverty.
Give me an idea then of what a day looks like at the Hope Center. People coming and going all the time, you know, with mail and phone and classes, or what does it look like?
Yep. You know, every day is different, as you can imagine, with people. It's always a unique experience. But right now we're serving about 200 people a day. And, you know, within those individuals, it really ranges. We have some that are disabled or unable to work for various reasons. And so those individuals come in a lot of times just to have connection to people. You know, to know that somebody cares about them and somebody's there for them. And then we have a larger percentage of our population that is working toward an education or working toward employment and that sort of thing. And so they come in, you know, some of them just to get mail and use the phone, and others to get basic need items. We give out a lot of different basic need items. We have some that come in to get support with filling out job applications or getting connected to housing or working through a plethora of situations, you know, ranging from legal issues to child custody to health concerns, things like that. So it's, you know, we don't really have a typical, but we sure try to provide as much as we can to individuals to help them get into a better situation.
When you think about, you know, a mailing address, something as simple as that, or, you know, access to a phone, it puts things in perspective, you know, beyond just the daily needs of, you know, a food and a place to go to the bathroom maybe, or to take a shower. But talk a little bit about just the importance of a place to, you know, to be able to write down on a job resume a street address.
Well, it's huge. You know, it was kind of one of the original programs that the Hope Center was founded on. And, you know, right now we have to over 2,000 people in Rapid City that use the Hope Center as their permanent mailing address. And it's one of those things that you can't get a job without an address or a phone number. You can't get on the housing list without an address or a phone number. You can't get a state ID without an address or a phone number. And so when you consider, you know, our hope that people get into better situations, if they don't have those very basic things that so many of us take for granted, they're never going to get into a better situation.
Are there restrictions for using it as a permanent address then, for say a state ID?
There is not. No, okay. Basically having a need. And so, you know, some of our guests do have housing, but it may not be permanent and stable housing where they can have that consistent address. A lot of our guests potentially are staying at the Cornerstone Rescue Mission or, you know, bouncing house to house or living in vehicles, things like that. And so, you know, for them to have that stability is huge. And that's really, you know, a big piece that we promote and we want people to know about.
Right. Tell me how you work with other agencies, other organizations in Rapid City, so there isn't a, you know, so those services are complementing each other. Mm-hmm. In a way that's effective for the people served and for the community resources too.
Right. You know, I think, hopefully I can speak for other agencies here, but I think we work really, really hard to collaborate effectively and to ensure that, you know, the higher level programming that's provided isn't duplicated. So we are being efficient in what we provide, you know, so while we might do an address and a phone number, somebody else does the meals during the day and somebody else does, you know, the addiction treatment and somebody else does overnights. And so we really try to make sure that one, we're being as efficient as possible, but then two, that our guests really know what's available to them and can be connected to those resources in the community.
So many of the people who, you know, come to see you or use these services are, as you said, you know, trying to, you know, build that bridge or walk across that bridge to not needing services, to having a mm-hmm. place where they can do their laundry or, you know, to get a haircut or what have you. How do you help people bridge that gap and move from wherever they're at, wherever they come in, mm-hmm. to just incrementally better or the next step?
A lot of what we do at the Hope Center is relationship based. Mm-hmm. You know, we do work with a large population of those who are truly without a home. You know, they're outside. And a lot of it from day one is building dignity, building hope. You know, we're the Hope Center.
Right.
But it really is kind of giving that back and saying, people care about you, people are here. And then from there, taking the steps to identifying, you know, what concerns they may have in their life, what are the things that they need to work on, and then kind of doing those warm handoffs and making those connections in the community from there to then, you know, helping them meet those goals and reach kind of those milestones that they're looking for.
How long have you been executive director, or how long have you been affiliated with the Hope Center?
It will be 4 years next week that I've been at the Hope Center.
What have you learned about, you know, when you mentioned dignity or you mentioned hope and relationships, you know, that you didn't know 4 years ago? Maybe you thought you knew, but then you meet
I
someone.
I have learned so much.
Give me an example.
You know, I think probably one of the big things that I've learned is that within agencies, you know, every agency is trying to do something amazing, and most of them are. And what I've learned is that when we truly focus on the people, because that's why we're here, is that's when we make a difference. And, you know, they have to be a priority, and we have to say, you know, this is the reason that we're here, is to help support you, to walk beside you. And when they feel supported in that way, then they make those steps and they do those things. And so I think kind of through my experience, it's really just been realizing that, you know, it's what we do, we have to focus on things outside of reporting and counting numbers and those
right,
sort of things.
Yeah.
While those are very important, but, you know, having the focus on the people is where you see that, you know, the individuals that we serve are people. And they have feelings, and they have family that love them, and they have, you know, situations almost entirely outside of their control. And so when we can stop and say, okay, this isn't just a name on a piece of paper or a number in a book, this is a human,
right.
Then we can really, you know, start identifying the root of the issue and, you know, potential solutions for whatever led them to where they're at. And so I think that's probably been my biggest lesson.
Yeah. When you look at your community, when you look at Rapid City, are you optimistic that some of, you know, sort of the problems that befall people can be addressed? Or is it sort of a constant, you know, we swam upstream today and, you know, we made
right.
a little progress, but, you know, there's a lot that we're swimming against. What's your
right.
overall sort of frame of mind?
You know, I think both. I think right now in Rapid City, we're kind of in a crisis. And so we do a lot of just swimming.
Yeah, right.
just trying to stay afloat. But there's right. so many great things that are that have been developed or are in the development stages with Collective Impact and the proposed One Heart Campus, with economic development, you know, working on bringing in thousands of new jobs over the course of the next few years, things like that, where, you know, when you look at Rapid and what I call the perfect storm of poverty, right, with, you know, high cost of living, low wages, that sort of thing. Some of the things that are being developed will ultimately alleviate some of those concerns and hopefully bring our poverty rate down to a level that isn't far above the state level and the national level, which is really unfortunate. So I think, you know, things that are in the works are very positive, and so my outlook is also very positive.
Yeah. If you wave your magic wand and say, you know, if I could make it go faster, I could make something that's coming to Rapid City go a little quicker, because I think it's going to really make a difference. What would it be?
That's a big question. I don't know if it would be one thing, because, you know, like I said, we have that perfect storm, and so it's all these interconnected pieces. So I think really having a level of infrastructure for jobs that people who don't have a bachelor's degree can make a living wage. You know, having enough homes in our community that are affordable to people who, you know, make minimum wage or $10 an hour. And then I think the next step is having programming in place for those who primarily have grown up in generational poverty to have supportive housing, and so they can be successful in that and have it be long term, instead of, you know, what we see on occasion, unfortunately, is people get into housing and they just don't know how to take care of it because they've never had that before. And so, you know, being able to be supportive of those individuals, you know, kind of a combination of all those three things would be my dream.
Yeah. Keep dreaming, Anna Quinn.
We'll
all keep swimming. Anna Quinn is Executive Director of the Hope Center in Rapid City. Hey, thank you so much for being here with us
today. Thank you. I appreciate it.